morning. Today is Thursday, November the 17th. Joining us on the Great American Smokeout.
Yes.
Yes.
Every day is a smokeout for me.
That's right. That's because it's a drug-free zone at Eureka High and all Eureka City school campuses.
Absolutely.
The guy in charge, Fred Van Fleck.
Good morning.
Our quote this morning. A little way too existential. Here we go. Ann Rowe. Freedom breeds freedom. Nothing else does.
Yes.
You like that one, huh?
I do. In fact, I really do like that one.
Good. Now you have the source for it.
Yes. Pretty apropos with the recent election season we went through.
Oh, I was thinking with you guys getting next week off.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, all the above.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It certainly was an interesting election from the school's perspective. I guess Fred the administrator, rather than Fred the parent. What'd you see with the taxing structures of 51, 55, and 58? As expected, a little different, a little disappointing, a little exciting.
Well, there, you know, anytime new revenue is coming to schools, it's exciting. Anytime new revenue is coming out of my pocket, it's depressing. So it depends on which way you want to look at it. But I will say this. 51 was a nail biter. And 51, just to refresh your memory, is the school facilities statewide bond. And that's where the state matches local dollars. And when there's hardship things, they can actually pump some money into a local system. And so that means millions of dollars, candidly, for the matching of Measure S. So that's a big deal for us. Prop 55 is an extension of the tax on the wealthiest of Californians. Those make over $250,000 as an individual or $500,000 as a couple.
And so that's the extension of what already exists.
It was Prop 30. But Prop 30 also had a quarter cent sales tax involved in it. So the quarter cent sales tax will sunset. The wealthiest income tax will continue. And that's a really good piece of news for us, because what's happened since the Great Recession that hit us back in 2007-ish, we have had the slowest recovery from a recession ever. Nobody's ever seen this slow of a recovery in the past of our economy. And so what happened was, when Prop 30 was passed, the idea was that we'll put it out till 2018, it'll sunset, the economy will have recovered, everything will be good, and we can carry on life as we know it in school. Problem is, it just didn't happen. And then finally on 58, that's the one that allows us to use whatever system that we see fit to educate students who are English learners. The way the law said earlier was that we had to educate English learners in English. And what this law says is schools can use whatever curriculum and means necessary to best achieve that.
So it's kind of like ESL, but you get to implement it how you perceive is best in your community.
Right. And a great, for instance, of that, the kids need to learn English because that's our primary language here in California. It's not an official language, just our primary language. And so what this allows us to do is, in some different subject areas, is to use some of their native language so they don't have that learning lag created by learning English in the other subjects.
So it's not an immersion program. It's an ancillary.
I would still say it's immersion, but maybe in math you can have a class that's specifically set up for Spanish speakers, and the math can be taught in Spanish.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Fred, the concept of having a little bit more funding, or it's probably not even more funding. It depends on your reference, right? Extended or prolonged funding rather than the short. Then you mentioned Measure S. Okay. Certainly that was a battle that came through. So is that going to allow more projects?
Well, just to make sure we keep the two separate, 51 and 55. 51 is specifically for Measure S and its state facility funding dollars. 55 is to be put in the classroom and educating students. And so there wasn't a sunset on the state funding. In fact, the state bond had run out. So a great for instance on that is our Alice Burney project, where we just replaced three classrooms with three new classrooms, demolishing three old classrooms. That is, in the neighborhood of $1.5 million project. There's a state match on that project somewhere in the neighborhood of $750,000. And the state said, yeah, we're going to pay you for that. You're in line for that. But sorry, we don't have any bonding authority, sell any bonds to make that match. So what 51 allowed is for that to almost instantaneously happen. So we will be getting that state match.
So you're back up on the trail, so to speak.
Yes, we are back up on the trail. So when we made our promises of what projects that we were going to produce, though, in Eureka, it was the assumption that there would not be any state funding, because we didn't want to make a promise out to the citizens. And then at that time, there was no state funding. There was the hope of state funding being there. But we didn't want to make that promise and then say, oh, well, we couldn't meet it because the state didn't come through with their funding.
So the 750 match, is that another classroom? Is that additional dollars that can be applied to another project?
So what the game plan is at this point is, in theory, it'll be money that can be applied to a different project. However, what we're going to do is we're going to make it down our list of projects that we told the community that we are going to do. And then once those projects are completed, if there's any money left over at the end, the board is going to get back together and reprioritize the next round of projects with any money we might have left at the end. So we want to be careful of not getting the cart in front of the horse, because we've got this crazy thing called inflation that hits us sometimes. And all of our projects are just estimates, and they're not real numbers until you have a hard bid on it. I can tell you right now, the gymnasium building at Eureka High School, whether it's a new one or the old one being rebuilt, is going to be over budget. We know that for a fact almost certainly already, just because of the most recent estimates that we've had to complete those projects.
Huge over or itty bitty over?
Well, if you consider in the millions itty bitty, then it'd be itty bitty.
Well, 5% or 10%.
Oh, no, it's more than that. It's in the millions. So when we did our budget way back when for Measure S, we are estimating somewhere in the neighborhood of about $8 million for a gymnasium to modernize that gym. When they got into it and found out how much work had to be done for the seismic, that number skyrocketed. It more than doubled. I mean, that's just the reality of what happens sometimes when you're governed by this little thing called Division of State Architect. They come in and they say, well, this is how thou shalt build this building. And so we have to build that building, and that's what we have to do. And that's what's really created this whole idea with the board of talking about a new gymnasium, because it is likely we can build a new gymnasium cheaper than we can modernize the existing one.
What set of costs are escalating quicker?
Renovation of the existing, for sure, because what happens with the renovation of the existing, just like with the gymnasium, we have all this unforeseen. We didn't think the seismic retrofits would be as great as they are in the current gym. So when we did the estimate, we were thinking our architect's estimate, and he was thinking, well, this is what we believe you'll need to do on a quick look at it, because we're just trying to get some budget numbers without a great expense to pay a lot of money to get the estimates. And so on a quick look, he gave us an idea. And then when we took an in-depth look after the bond passed, when we had some money to, hey, we're doing something here, we need to take a real in-depth look, that's when the numbers just skyrocketed, because the unforeseen will kill you every time. Anybody that's done a modernization, or I should say, everyone, we call it a remodel at home. Anyone that's done a remodel or built a new house or something.
Remodel
like
the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So you've got that and 55 both kind of working together, but also independent of one another.
Right. So Measure S and Prop 51 are dollars that are specifically earmarked for facilities, cannot be used for anything else. Prop 55, however, on the other hand, is specifically earmarked for the classroom, can't be used for administrators or anything like that. It needs to go to the classroom directly impacting student instruction. It can only be, for instance, classroom teacher salaries. The idea behind it is to maintain the number of teachers that we have, because 55 is really designed much like 30 was, as a stopgap, so we don't have the massive teacher layoffs when 30 sunsets. Because the problem is 30 sunsetting in 2018 is already built into our multi-year projection. We're required to project the current year plus two more additional years out. And with that sunsetting, we have a budget problem 2 years out right now. And so this will help solve that budget problem, so we're not having the conversations about taking down programs or eliminating teachers.
But status quo rather than salary increases for existing staff.
That's the idea behind it. With that being said, there's this other crazy little piece that happens to be going on at the same time, and that's a statewide teacher shortage. And we're also seeing the shortage up here in classified employees. And so what's happening is schools start competing against schools. And so we're all looking for teachers. And so when we're all looking for teachers, we start to try to incentivize teachers to come to our districts. And then pretty soon, one district's paying a little bit more than another district, so we have to up our salaries, and they have to up their salaries. And that's one of those pieces that starts happening during these times of teacher shortages, is we try to compete with each other's. And one way we try to do that is in salary.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:30. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the concept, okay, it's 8:35, fine. The concept with shortage for teachers is 180 degrees different from what it was 5 to 10 years ago. Yes. What happened? Are suddenly an age wave come through? Everybody retiring at the same time? Because we're not closing schools, we're not adding schools. It doesn't seem like it would be a Humboldt County driven thing at all.
It's certainly not a Humboldt County driven thing. Even if we rewind 5 years ago, when I first came back up here to Eureka, we'd open up the most common teaching credential is what's called a multiple subjects credential, and that's what our elementary teachers have. And if we had opened up a elementary teaching position requiring a multiple subjects credential 5 years ago, we'd get about 100 applicants for one position. Last year, we opened up somewhere in the neighborhood of about 8 elementary positions, and we had around 20 applicants for those 8 positions. And so the landscape has just changed.
And are they going south, kind of like what the cops do? You know, where you get a lot of money for kind of the last little hoorah and then you retire based at that? Or is there some other dynamic here?
Well, there's actually multiple dynamics at play. The biggest dynamic that's at play is the statewide downturn in young people interested in becoming teachers. So we're at a historical low with teachers prospective teachers entering the teacher preparation program the year before last. Last year, we had an uptick of 10%, which was a good thing. And so we have some supplies coming, but that uptick of 10% certainly isn't going to solve our shortage that we have statewide. And so there's factor number one that goes into it. Factor number two is that in Humboldt County, we've had declining enrollment for years. Eureka City Schools had an average declining enrollment of 150 students per year up until about 3-4 years ago, going back 15 plus years.
So 5-6 teachers a year would have to retire to
retire
or just be laid off. Yeah.
And so what happens is your least senior teachers are the first to go. And so all of our young teachers were laid off. We weren't hiring very many new teachers. And so we had this big bubble of senior teachers at the top. And so as our senior teachers finally started to go, many of those younger teachers that would have had that stair step in went someplace else because they couldn't find a job up here because, like I said, there's 100 plus applying. And it also has an interesting impact on the other side is we don't have – when we had 100 applying, we'd have 99 left to sub. We don't have that anymore, so we have a serious sub shortage as well.
And you can't hire somebody as a permanent and substitute and just kind of have them bounce around filling in, kind of like a utility player on a ball club, a baseball team?
I would love to do that, but the reality is a sub gets paid in the neighborhood of $115 per day unless they're a long-term sub and it goes up by a little bit. And so for 180 days, multiply that out. That's someplace in the neighborhood of $20,000 for that teacher to have them to have a teacher subbing every day for the year. If we were to hire them on as a on-staff sub, it would cost us somewhere in the neighborhood, if they were a brand new teacher, in the neighborhood of $60,000. And so fiscally, as much as I'd love to be able to make that happen, we just can't make it happen.
So, and you can't monkey with the classroom size? That's a contractual thing?
Contractual issue, and plus it's a quality of education issue that a lot of people hold very near and dear.
I don't think there's a tipping point, or I would like to think no one thinks that there's a tipping point of one more kid in
right.
a class. I mean, 29 to 30, 30 to 31, 20 to 21, okay, fine. But you don't have that flex because it's in the contract as a black and white.
Correct.
So as you're looking at the revenues, the individuals, the population base, last August, you said there was kind of a little bit of a growth.
40 kids this year, district-wide.
And you were smiling rather obscenely.
Well, absolutely. Considering our average was 150 loss, that's an uptick of almost 200 kids.
Yeah, the swing is significant. So if the teachers aren't here, what do you do? Or do you have to just spend more and more of those resources in attracting kids from out of state to come here to be a teacher?
So we do that. We've been recruiting all over the place. We're offering forgivable loans is what we call them, as basically a signing bonus. And what that means is you can get up to $6,000 as a signing bonus. And if you work for the district for so many years, that loan is forgiven. And those are in the high need areas where we have a very hard time recruiting teachers. Areas like math.
Subject matter rather
yes.
than geographic location.
Correct. Math, special education, and some of those areas. And so what happens is our pool gets shallower. And the teachers are there. We just don't have as many to choose from. And we just have to put more time and resources into some teachers because we have to work harder to get them to perform to the level that we expect. And our test is, at least my test is, I always want a teacher that I'd be willing to stick my child in their classroom. And that's, to me, a very big question I have to ask myself every time we're looking at a teacher, whether we want to hire them or not. Do I want to put my child in their classroom? And we've hired a cadre of instructional coaches who are working. We've recognized that this is a need in California right now, also in Humboldt County and definitely in Eureka City Schools. We need a professional team out there that can be that coach for our teachers because teaching is an interesting thing. Athletics, you spend, 95% of your time practicing and 5% of your time competing? Teachers, flip it on its ear. 95% of your time out there competing, or delivering instruction and 5% of your time or less in professional development.
Does Humboldt State still have a teaching program?
Humboldt State does. Historically low numbers in the program. The program is very different than what it once was. A lot of distance learners there. We used to
rely, they're not here in Marshall.
Right, okay. Right. And we used to rely on come to Humboldt County, you'll fall in love and stay here. And when you're a distance learner, you don't come here and fall in love and stay.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It is 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. 3 minutes, three topics. We'll start with the first one. Unfortunately, Fortuna had a situation, Fortuna High, last week that was what you hope you never have to do. You guys have had those kinds of situations in the past. Are you comfortable with the protocols and the processes you have in place now so that when the next situation happens, it'll be as professionally dealt with as possible?
I would say I'm comfortable, but I'm not satisfied. And the reason that I say that I'm not satisfied is because we're always learning. There's something out there that we practice, something out there that we haven't practiced for that's going to happen. I don't even know what that is, because those are the things that are just crazy. There's going to be scenarios that hit us that we never, ever thought would happen. And go back pre-Columbine. Think about how all of our schools were set up pre-Columbine and how much practice we had on any type of active shooter on schools and how much that's impacted how we respond to things. And the reality is behind that is we just weren't prepared for it. And now we are. And now we're prepared for the active shooter on campus. But the problem is, what's the other scenario out there that we don't know about yet? Thank the Lord that nothing happened in Fortuna. I'm very happy about that. Very happy that some students got up the nerve to come in and have that conversation and say that they're concerned about what's happening and what's happening around them, because God only knows what would have happened if they didn't do that.
Prop 64. You guys are in a drug-free zone. I wouldn't imagine that it's going to impact the day-to-day of the education. However, now there are certain doors have been opened.
It's interesting. And my first question was, all right, how about bus drivers? Bus drivers right now obviously can't use marijuana. Well, maybe now they can. But a few days ago, they couldn't use marijuana. And so the question is, marijuana, THC, stays in your system somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 weeks. So bus drivers can drink, as long as they're not drinking on duty. And so the next legal question is, and this will be answered by the Department of Transportation, not by local schools, because that's who monitors the drug testing on our bus drivers, is can they be a recreational user of marijuana? And that's a big question. And who knows?
Well, somebody will tell. Time will tell.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
Enjoy your week off.
Woohoo.
No, gobble, gobble, man. Gobble, gobble. Pay attention to the lines. See you all tomorrow.